under the weather.
What's the word I say?
Chosmerosho, Yasik Bedoya. Chosmerol Gufo, Yasik Bedoya.
Chosmergoino, Yasik
Bedoya. Chosmergoino, Gufo.
This week's Parsha is Parsha's Chayi Saga. Okay? This week I want to discuss Mitzvah Shin Lamed Vav 336. It's the Mitzvah of Asiyas Din Belokeach Bemochem. The different dinim that are regarding Lokeach and Mocher. As you get to know when you become more familiar with the Sefer HaKinach and different mitzvahs, not every mitzvah is a simple aseh or los aseh. It's not always like you have to put on tzitzis, you have to put on tefillin, or like don't kill somebody, don't do arayos. Sometimes it's just mitzvahs that are like more similar to dinim. That like when you get in, it's not necessarily a chiyuv, it's not necessarily
so
it's
all under the Ramach aseh or the Shah.
Yeah, this is under the aseh. Rambam counts it as mitzvah reish mem hey, as an aseh, but sometimes it's just like a din. When you're placed in a certain, I mean like this, are you mechuyev? One of the mitzvahs is to give a woman a get. Should we all now try to get married and then give a woman a get? No, it's not. It's just when you're put in a certain situation, you're supposed to act in a certain way, and that's also a mitzvah. So here we're talking about, am I chayv to buy something? Am I chayv to sell something? No. But when I am encountered with that situation, the Torah gives me guidelines. No, I'm saying even if you're not chayv to buy something, that's what I'm saying. It's not that. You're not chayv all of a sudden to become a mocher or to become a lokeach. You're not all of a sudden you're chayv to do something. But when you're placed in a situation of buying and selling, there's certain rules that you have to follow. Interesting to note, however, according to the Sefer HaKinach, he says that this mitzvah is on Beis Din. He says, let's say you don't do the kinyanim correctly. Let's say you don't follow the correct rules and you don't do things according to the din. Beis Din is over on Avera. They're not making the mitzvah of Asiyas Din Bin Lokeach Bin Mochem. Therefore, he says it's only on males because only males can be members of the Beis Din. However, the Rambam, when in his formulation of the mitzvah of Reish Mem Hei, in his minyan of mitzvahs, he says it makes it sound more like that the chiyuv of kinyanim. Really, because this whole thing between Mocher and Lokeach is really boiled down to Kinyanim. And the Rambam says that really it's a mitzvah on the seller and it's a mitzvah on the buyer, as opposed to the Chinuch, who says it's on Beis Din. The Rambam says it's on the Mocher and the Lokeach, it's on the buyer and seller.
Do you say it's still only on guys?
No,
the Rambam,
I don't think so.
I think according to the Rambam,
it's more... It's more on everybody. Oh, so the Sefer HaKinach, interestingly, doesn't bring a source. The Rambam does. The Rambam says it's b'chitem kirumemka aliyad amisecha, the pasuk in Parshas Bahar. The Chinuch, interestingly, doesn't bring a source. The Chinuch does say that it's very related to the mitzvah of Tohen B'nitan. The Chinuch is in Parshas Bahar. Yeah. Fine. So now, also just interesting to know, the Sefer HaKinach had an interesting point. This is more of a general point, not solely between this mitzvah. He says this mitzvah is also included in the rules of Tohen B'nitan, when a Malvek claims from Malovi owes him money. So the Chinuch was pointing out, why are there certain mitzvahs that are doubled up in the Torah? He gives an example. There's certain mitzvahs, for example, Avodah Zarah.
Mamilo.
It says Avodah Zarah appears in the Torah 44 times. He says Shabbos, it says it 12 times. Why is this a thing that like the Torah finds the need to repeat so many different times? The Sefer HaKinach, what? Alright, so why are we repeating things in the Torah? The Sefer HaKinach says some things are more important and God wants to stress them. And some things, they just happen all the time. So let's say Mekach u'Memkar, people are buying and selling things all the time, so the Torah felt the need to emphasize it more than once. Fine, just an interesting thing. Fine, now I want to get into Kinyanim. We know that for an object, let's say, to change possession from one person to another person, it doesn't just happen like that, with certain guidelines, and those guidelines are called Kinyanim. Transactions. The Minchas Asher of Asher Weiss, in Baba Basra and Simon Membes, on his Pirish in the Gemara in Baba Basra, says that there's four major types of Kinyanim. First of all, hopefully we're all familiar with Kinyanim. You can name a bunch. You do a bunch. Which Kinyanim do you recognize? Which ones do you do? Yeshicha is one. Chalipin, Hadba'a, Mesira, Kinyan Chatzar, Kinyan Aga,
Star, Kesef, Bia.
Bia is a Kinyan. I guess it is. Whatever. So
these are all
So I want to start. So we have all these different types of Kinyanim that can cause a trend. Hold on. There's all these different types of kinyanim that can execute a transaction from one person to the other. So I want to try to make some status. The Minchas Asher breaks it down into, he says every single kinyan can fall into one of four categories. And I give you the four categories that he gives, and it will give you a little bit of status. The first one is called Temura. Temura, which literally means a transaction.
Substitution.
No, this is the Minchas Asher describing the four categories of kinyanim. Rav Asher Weiss says the first category is Temura. A substitution or a... my English is gone.
Swap.
A swap. One example of this would simply be Kesef. I give you money, right? And as a substitution for the money, you give me back a horse. Right? That's Temura, a transaction of a substitution. The second category is called Hachnasa L'Rishusa. Okay, let's say you want to give me something. So I take that object and I put it into my possession. One example would be Kinyan Chatzer, Kinyan Yad, you put something on my hand. Kinyan Meshicha.
Hachnasa what?
Hachnasa L'Rishusa. Hachnasa L'Rishusa.
Chatzim Meshicha,
one of these,
what was the other specific? You said Chatzim Meshicha.
Chatzim and Yad. The thing is, a lot of these, a lot of these fall into multiple categories. But that's just like what's going to happen a lot with Kinyan. The third one that the Minchas Asher brought was Raya Ligmiras Das. This is a very important one. What the Kinyan is essentially doing is it's showing me a proof that A really wants to sell something to B.
Star,
Kinyan Sudar. Let's say, right? We do this by Chametz. When you're selling Chametz, so your rabbi all of a sudden picks up a pen.
That's Kinyan
Sudar. You pick up a pen. What's that doing? Or maybe it's a Kinyan Sudar. So what it could be doing is it's almost showing it's concretizing the Kinyan. It's saying, I'm very, very serious. And as an act of seriousness, I want to show you I'm picking this up. And now you know I'm really, really serious and I want to give you my house. It's weird, but that's called a Raya Ligmira Stas.
Agav fall under famous category?
We could talk about all the Kinyanim.
Agav
them in.
Is complicated.
Fine. And the last one is very important. It's called Hafganas Bailas. Hafganat Bailas or Horaz Bailas. It's a display of ownership. What would fall
under?
I don't think so.
That's when
it's Shtar. Shtar is, I think, more of a Raya Ligmira Stas. It's showing that I'm very serious about making a kinyan.
That would be Hagbah.
So Hafganas Bailas would be, let's say, something like Chazaka. Right? What's this Indian of Chazaka? Let's say I want to buy Chazaka. I want to buy 60 acres of farmland. So what do? I go in and I start digging holes into the land. And all of a sudden we say, that's a Chazaka. That now the land belongs to me.
No defense.
What am I doing? So what you're doing essentially is you're Hafganas Bailas. You're showing that you're the new owner.
Marking your territory.
Huh? Fine. So those are the four categories. There's a very, very famous people that a lot of the Achronim like to talk about. It's like, this is going to be, this year is going to be a lot of, like, lumbus based. Whether you like that or not, but it's Kinyanim. So there's so many different, a few Prakim and Bava Matia that talk about this.
Bava Kiddushin.
There's so much on, there's a lot of lumbus to go on. So one of the very famous questions that come up is, how do we define the Maisa Kinyan? Okay? We know that Ruvay is trying to give Shimon a cow. So we know he has to do, there's a lot of kinyanim he can do, but he has to do a maisa. He has to do a maisa kinyan. So what does the maisa kinyan accomplish? So Rav Shlomo Kluger says that a maisa kinyan, the actual act, let's say he ends up pulling the cow. So pulling the cow itself, the act of pulling isn't really doing anything. Rather, it's just a simen ba'alma. It's a simen that's, it's megala the fact that I'm very serious, that I'm gmar das lahachar. So according to Shlomo Kluger, when it comes to kinyanim, the maisa that I'm doing isn't really doing anything. It's not the maisa. It's just a maisa that's a simen that shows that Reuven wants to give something to Shimon. But really, a kinyan is all in the das. So as you're saying, so again, this is very lumdish of terms, but a kinyan, according to Shlomo Kluger, the maisa kinyan, the fact that actions that I'm doing, the meshicha that I'm doing, the meshicha itself isn't important. Nobody cares about the meshicha. Meshicha isn't magic. It's rather about the Meshicha is showing that Reuven really, really, really wants to give the item to Shimon. And as soon as you reach that threshold where you have the das to be mafia something from A to B, it automatically happens. And the Maisa doesn't make the transaction happen. Rather, the Maisa is just revealing the fact that there's a large level of das wanting something to happen. Rebbe Weiss, however, argues and says that the truth is sometimes the Maisa Akinin itself acts as some type of like hocus pocus that actually causes the Akinin to come into effect.
Simon Versiba.
Exactly. This is a classic Simon Versiba. If you ever want to get a, like a Lumbus Shushu, you want to talk about Maisa Akinin, is it a Simon or is it a Siba? According to Shlomo Kluger, it's just a Simon. And really, it's all about Das. Reuven wants to give it to Shimon, and the Maisa just shows that Reuven wants to give it to Shimon. Or no, it could be that the Maisa itself is what causes the object to change possession. Fine. Next very, very famous question is Kinyanim Doraisa or Durabanan? So obviously there's both Kinyanim and Doraisa, but there's also Kinyanim Durabanan. But we have a big machlokas between the Sefer HaChinuch and the Mitzvah Sefer, and the Minchas Sefer. The Sefer HaChinuch over here says that Kesef, Shtar, Chazakah, and Hagvah, he says all of these are Durabanans. The Minchas Chinuch says, I don't know what you're talking about. We have drushos from the Torah.
Kesef Shtar Chazaka.
Kesef Shtar Chazaka. Kesef Shtar Chazaka, if you look at the Gemara Kedushin, Hagbah. But Kesef Shtar and Chazaka, look at the Gemara Kedushin, they have drushos. So Minchas Chinuch goes nuts. He says, how are you saying that? How is the Sefer HaChinuch saying that Kesef Shtar and Chazaka, they're all Kinyanim only on a Durabana level? The Gemara itself brings proof that from the Torah, Sukkim in the Torah, that they are Kinyanei De'oraisa. So this gets us on to a little bit of a side tangent, but a very, 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 very important tangent. Okay? According to the Sefer HaChinuch, he says that when we have Kesef, Shtar, and Chazaka born in the Gemara Kedushin, and they're based off of Psukim in the Torah, those Psukim are only Asmachtas. What's an Asmachta?
Asmachta Lokanya.
Just a reveal in the Psukim.
So Asmachta are hints from the Psukim.
Who answers it says it's only Asmachta?
That's what the Chinuch says.
The Sefer HaChinuch says it's only Asmachta.
He says they're Asmachta.
He answers Psukim?
Not answer, he tells the Psukim are only Asmachta.
This Chinuch says that?
Yeah.
So the Sefer HaChinuch says that, or it's Minchas Chinuch answer?
Yeah, the Sefer HaChinuch says it. Says Psukim are only and Asmachta. So, fine. So the Kuzari, I really like the, I don't have it on me, but the Kuzari in Maimer Shlishi, Simen Ayin Gimel, says like this. He poses it as a possibility. He doesn't say this for sure, but he definitely poses it as a possibility. He says that this is a fascinating thing. He said the Mishnayos weren't always around. Okay? Who's the Kuzari? The Kuzari was written by Rabbi Huda Halevi. The Kuzari is a Machshava Sefer. I'm not going to get into it exactly right now, but pretty much the way it's written, it's about a king. The king of the Kuzars, the Khazars, whatever, who had these questions about like theological questions in Machshava, and they brought in a Muslim person, a Christian person, and a rabbi, and pretty much the whole sefer is about the rabbi explaining to this king the fundamentals about Judaism. In the end, the king converts to Judaism. It's a question if the story really happened, if the king was really asked the question, or if this is just what like Rabbi Yehuda Halevi wanted to write a sefer Machshava, and this is how we did it. Fine. But the Kuzari says something fascinating. He says that the Mishnayos weren't always around, and we know that there's a concept that the Rabbanon are allowed to make takanos. The problem is, the Rabbanon can make takanos, we want to make sure that the Rabbanon wouldn't forget the takanos that were made. And the Rabbanon wanted to make sure that the people would remember the takanos. So what did the Rabbanon do? There were certain dinim that the Rabbanon instituted, and what they did was, they found psukim in the Torah that they can latch their dinim onto. I mean, the Torah didn't have in mind for these to happen, but the Rabbanon said that there's a certain din, a din de Rabbanon, and then the Rabbanon themselves just looked for psukim in the Torah that might be able to hint to these dinim. But the Torah itself never had the Torah itself wasn't mechayev the Jewish people these things. It was the Rabbanon that came up with these laws. The Torah never had them in mind. It's just that the Chachamim used the Torah to ki'ilu be hints so that people wouldn't forget these dinei de Rabbanon. Okay? Problem is, you have a ritva in Rosh Hashanah. One of the most famous ritvas in Rosh Hashanah, Adaf Hezayin. I'm going to read you the Lashon because it's a very strong Lashon.
Why are you launching?
What? Yeah. So the ritva says, I'll get it for you in a second, but the ritva says, Chas v'shalom, this is a horrible, horrible way to think. How can you possibly entertain in your mind that like we're just using the Torah to like give us hints about what we're saying? He said, of course, the Torah, every time that it says that it's an asmachta, and we learn a din d'rabbanan out from the Torah itself really had the kavanah, really had the intention to teach us those dinim. It's just that the Torah didn't give it over to us. The Torah schiv. The Torah wasn't mechayev us to do it on a d'oraisa level. The Torah itself said we have to do it on the Rabbanan 11. And the Rabbanan later point in history were able to find these dinim. But of course the Torah had in mind. He didn't say it like this, but it's almost like fear to say that the Torah never had that in mind. Of course the Torah had it in mind. It's just that the Torah didn't want it to be a din de oraisa. I'll read you the lashon quickly. He says like this. Shekol ma sheyesh lo asmachta min ha-pasuk. Whenever there's an asmachta of the pasuk, hey HaKadosh Baruch Hu sheroi la'asos kein. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that you're supposed to do it. Ela shelo kabul chova b'masru l'chachamim. But rather, the Torah didn't want to make it a chiyuv, and the Torah said the chachamim could decide. V'zeh davar bar ve'emes. V'lo kederei ha-mefarshim, not like the people who say that hasmachtos she'u kederech simen she'nasnu chachamim. Not like the people say that the smachta wasn't really the intention of the Torah. The Torah didn't really have it in mind. Rather, Chachamim just made it up. Oh, he did say it. He said it's apikarsis to say that. Aval haTorah heira bekach b'masra chiyuv hadavar lekabel lechachamim im yirtzu. Kemo shenemar be'asitzach bi'adavar asher yagidu lecha l'fichach chimzach chachamim nosim bechol makom raya ozecher osmachta l'vrem in haTorah klomar she'ina mechadshim davar milibam. Rabbanan are never making things up from their own accord. B'chol Torah shebal peh remuza b'Torah shebichzav. Everything in the Torah shebal peh has already been thought of by the Torah shebichzav. Shehis mima b'chas b'shalom shechaseir klum. It's impossible to say that the Torah is missing anything. Anything that the Rabbanan bring up and say it's an asmachta that was already thought of before in the Torah. Fine. Question goes like this. We know, even if he's, whatever, disregarding that, we know that there's such thing as Kinyanei Derabanan. The question is, the question is the following. Can a Kinyan Derabanan, if the rabbi say that a Kinyan could work, can a Kinyan Derabanan work on a Doraisa 11? Give an example. We say that Kesef, Kinyan Kesef doesn't work for Metatlin on a Doraisa 11. I mean like this. If I buy a ring with money, that's a Kinyan Derabanan. Can I use that ring now, which is only mine on a Darabana level, and be Mekadesh a woman with it, and marry the woman on a Daraisa level? So this is actually a machlokas. Without maybe Lewin brings it down. It says Tur, Rashi, Rabbi Yerucham, and the Rambam, they all say no. You can't use a Kinyan Darabanan to work on something Daraisa. Meaning you can't use a ring that you bought on a Darabana level to now do a Kiddushin Daraisa. Just want to work.
So what are we doing, Bismarck Azzeh, with our Kiddushin then?
Hold on. However, the Ramban and the Beis Yosef both say that a Kinyan Derabanan could work on a Doraisa level. So the question is, how? How does that make any sense? A Doraisa level, you need
less. Derabanan's less.
Exactly. So how can I only own the ring on a Derabanan level, and I could use that ring to give to a woman, and all of a sudden she's mad on a Doraisa level? It's not really mine on a Doraisa level. What's happening? There's a few answers. Again, they're all like sugyos up to themselves, so I'm not going to get into each one of them.
Who are the people that Avnei Magu quoted saying you can't?
That you can or
yeah,
can't?
Can't.
Can't was Tur, Rashi, Rabbeinu Yerucham, and the Rambam. Rambam famously says that Kinyan Kesef doesn't work to be Kaddish. And then the Ramban and the Beis Yosef said it does work. So how would it work? First answer is a concept called Hefker Bezdin Hefker. Okay? What Hefker Bezdin Hefker tells you is that the Rabbanan have the power to just move around money freely from person to person. And that's even a Doraisa din. Oh, that's number one. That's like a little bit up there. Like I said, it's a very lumdush type of shir. These are big concepts that you'll hear them now, but you're really going to have to learn each one of them individually for a long time. The next one is a simpler answer. This ties back to what we were talking about at the beginning. According to the Chazon Ish, Choshen Mishpachah Beis, this is something that Kedai to remember. Chazon Ish, Choshen Mishpachah Beis is something that's quoted all the time. We spoke about it earlier, but we quoted it in the name of Shlomo Kluger. He says that really Kinyanim is all about Gemira's Das. So now that you tell, and I think this is really Pshat on the Chazon Ish, I think this is what he means. Even if I have a Kinyan Derabanan, what's the point of Kinyanim? Kinyanim, like Rav Shlomo Kluger explained, like Chazon Ish explains, Kinyanim is all just to show you that I really, really, really have the intention and have the Gemar Das that I want to give you the item. Okay? So even though the Kinyan Derabanan is only a Kinyan Derabanan, but now that I know that it works at least on a Derabanan level, I definitely have Gemira's Das. I definitely want to give it from me to you. So even if the Kinyan only works on a Derabanan level, even if it's only a Maisa Kinyan Derabanan, but there's Gemira's Das. And once you have Gemira's Das, the kidney goes through even on the rice level. That's how it works. And the last thing, I don't know if you guys learned this yet, goes back to the Shara Yosha when he talks about Torah's Mishpatim. Shara Yosha, it's a very complicated concept. I was never going to explain it, so I'm not going to be good at explaining it now. But this is just also an answer. He says, when we talk about Dine Mamonos, we're working by a whole other set of rules. We're not talking about Isser Beheter anymore, it's Dine Mamonos. And Dine Mamonos, when we're talking about money, it's ruled by Svara, by people, Mamish logic. Logic dictates. And therefore, if logic dictates that something belongs to me, so even if it's only a kid in the Rabbana, but as long as logic would dictate that it would belong to me, then I could use that ring now to be Mekadesh a woman on a Doraisa level. Fine.
Is that similar to the second answer?
It's but yeah, the truth is all the answers are pretty similar. Yeah, but yeah, it's definitely similar. But this goes back, I mean, the Shara Yosha, when does this come up? The Shara Yosha asks a very, very famous question. He says, I don't understand. Every time we say Hamotu Mechaber Lavaraya, right? Let's say we're not sure if Ruben owes him 100 bucks. Say Ruben doesn't have, yeah, Ruben doesn't have to pay. Question is, I don't understand. It's a Safik Doraisa of Gazelle. Maybe Ruben's stealing, and Safik Doraisa Lachomra, Ruben should have to pay because maybe he's being over on Gazelle. Very simple question, right? Great question. That's a little problem with the thing. But simple question is, I don't understand. Ruben's going to be over on Zila. Maybe he owes him 100 bucks. So that's when the Shara Yosha comes up with this whole Yosod and he says, no.
Mamon is different.
It works by logic. If logic dictates, Hamotu Mechaber Lavaraya. So that's the first step. The first step is Ruben doesn't have to pay. And now that the law is that Ruben doesn't have to pay, it's not considered a Gezel. There's no suffix in it. Fine. Just to end off, we'll end off over here with the Asher Shrier special. Asher always likes when I. Because this today especially was a very lubdish heavy type of mitzvah. So I wanted a little bit tie it back to the parsha maybe a little bit, and also tie it back to maybe a little bit of a vote. Firstly, tying it back to the parsha, I had a friend named Yisrael Rubin, who's in yeshiva with me, great, great, great boy. He asked me a question. He said, why does this week's parsha, why am I talking about this? By the way, we never discussed it in the beginning. Why am I talking about this right now? Kinyanin. Marisama Pela. Avram bought it from Ephron. Avram bought it from Ephron. Kinyanin. Way to be. So, why does the Torah spend, if you look at Rishon and a little bit of Shani, why, Cohen and Levi, why does the Torah spend so much time discussing how exactly Avram was Konah the land from Ephron? The answer is, what I believe is, thousands of years later, you're going to have Jews, tens of thousands of Jews going to Hebron for Shabbos, right? Parshas Kayasar. And they want to say, this was the land that Avram Avinu, our forefather, brought. This is our land. And the Torah is very similar to the first Rashi in the Chumash, that the Torah wanted to make sure that we have a very, very, very solid, concrete claim to the land. And that's why the Torah, even though it goes out of its way to use a lot of sukkah to talk about exactly how, where Avram Avinu bought the land, Marzer and Bela, and how exactly he bought it. But before we actually talk about Avram did a bunch of different kinyanim, so that later on the non-Jews can't say, no, Avram didn't really buy it, he didn't really do it well. Fine. Next thing I want to talk about is a little bit, is very much a stretch. But we talked earlier about the different types of kinyanim. Rebbe Chaim Sasha said that there's four categories of kinyanim, what exactly they are. I want to tie that into being Kona Torah. We always talk about in yeshiva, especially, you want to be Kona Torah. You want to own Torah. You think about what that means? You've heard that line, right? You want to be Kona Torah. Ever heard that? Kona Torah, what does that mean? So I want to take each of these categories and make a little bit of a drush on each of these categories. The first category, Michal Sasha said, was Tamura. Reuben wants to give something to Shimon, how's he supposed to do it? So he said, one way, Reuben can give Shimon 100 bucks, and in exchange for the 100 bucks, he can get a cow. That's called Timur. Same thing when it comes to Torah. If you want to be Kona Torah, you got to give something up. You got to give something extra. Sometimes that's hard. It's not easy. You can't just like expect that you're all of a sudden going to be Kona the entire Torah. No, if you want to be Kona Torah, you got to give something in exchange. That could be your time, that could be your sweat, that could be your tears. That's number one. Second thing we have is Hachnasas L'Rishusa. What does that mean, Hachnas L'Rishusa? So we said one category of that is bringing, let's say, the cow into your chatzah. So now that you brought it into your Rishus, now you're Konan, the cow. Same thing with Torah. Torah is not something external. Torah has to be something that when you learn it, you can't just stay as math. You know, when you're learning a math problem, you're just figuring it out at the end of the day. But with Torah, you actually have to make it a part of you. You have to bring it into your own Rishus. Next one is Raya L'Gmiras Das. Right, I have a shtar that I'm selling the cow to Shimon. Same thing with Torah. While it's not, shows that you're really serious about it. Why? That's like a simple one. You should be serious about your learning Torah. And the last one is my favorite, Havganas Bailas. Okay, when Reuben wants to sell his cow to Shimon, one of the ways he can do it is he could do something called the chazaka. Let's say he could put a sweater on the cow, and that shows that the cow belongs to him. And that's considered a chazaka. Now also the cow belongs to him, because you're showing that you're the owner of the cow. If you're putting a sweater on the cow, that shows that you own the cow. So the same thing with Torah. I used to like saying that being clone at Torah doesn't mean owning Torah. Rather, it means making Torah your own. But and what does that mean exactly? Everybody has their own chelik in Torah. Okay? When you learn Torah, it's a shame if everybody was just going to be learning and everybody's just trying to try. Torah has to become a part of you, like we said. But you also have to show your imprint on the Torah that you learn. Everybody has their own different areas of halacha or whatever. Some people enjoy learning chassidah. Some people enjoy learning lambda. Some people enjoy learning halacha. Everybody has their own area of expertise. And the important thing is that in order to be kona Torah, you have to do hafganas violence. You have to show that you really own it. How do you do that? You make your mark. So Bezrat Hashem, all of us, we will continue the year, learn a lot of Teva, and we can yell him on the Teva, and we'll see after.
Do you give us a